Welcome to Maximum Impact, reaching you from the Citadel of Impact, Abuja, New Estate Baptist Church. We enjoin you to open your mind and connect with the Lord as we receive engrafted words. Get ready to be greatly blessed as we join His anointed servant, Pastor Abiodun Aribike.
Can I warn you to beware what you listen to? Why is it that as Nigerians, we are excited with bad and evil news? If it is bad, we broadcast. If it is good, we keep. I'm sure now Christians are purveyors of the most sadistic, evil, wicked news all around. And if you hear one, by the time they tell a guy here one, by the time he's reaching to this or guy here, it will have moved to 100. Bad news everywhere. The news we have in Nigeria is enough to make a person depressed. I've made up my mind. Some of you, you will call me, you will not reach, you will not, I will not be able to take my call because I'm going to block you. Because some of the things I see on some people's statuses is enough to take away faith even from your pastor. So if you call me and you did not hear from me, I have blocked you. I'm not on Facebook again. I'm not on Twitter again. I have not paid DSTV in my house for 3 months. I don't want to hear any news. If you are now giving me the bad news, I'm going to block you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have the right to post what you need to post. I have the right to block you. Everybody have their right. I have the right to keep my life sane. There's nothing you want to tell us that we don't know. It is terrible. It is bad. But you want to keep saying that in the midst of it, you are a believer. Can you not spread good news? No wonder people are not following us to church. Because we said the gospel is good news and nobody is hearing it from us. The news we hear from most of, if all of us have money, we would have gone to Togo. But you don't even have money to go to Sapele there. What am I saying? Let your news and your status not make us depressed. Our experiences are already terrible. Can we have good news from you? Or you keep quiet? Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's look at Psalm 42 verse 5. Can we read together? Why are you cast down? Can I hear you? Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? You know, all around, natural, you see, things happening. It's enough to make us cast down and be in turmoil. Was it not last week that we asked to come and rush to come and pick our children? Am I saying things are right? No. I'm saying don't add to it. Don't add to it. I am depressed. I don't know what to do. What news are you listening to? What are you imagining in your heart? The Bible says, whatever is honorable, Philippians 4, 8, lovely, think about those things. We come, we kabash, magaria, gadele, speak in tongues, and afterwards, spread evil news, wrong news, bad news, everywhere. If you want to spread, check, share any news on Facebook or on social media, check if it's from a credible news media. Not because you saw it on Pastor Ajala's listen, you crop it and you make it a news. Pastor Ajala is not a journalist. Somebody called me and said at the junction of my house, the lynch soldiers fought Boko Haram at the junction of my house. You know, the thing started from Kaduna Road. Then people say Veritas. They say Law School. They say Buhari. Now, you don't move each Ushafa. Now, the junction, that Ushafa junction. Now, there, the thing happened. Imagine, if I did not have the right things and they told me, now Shafa judge and they are waiting to think what happened to me. Why are you downcast? Oh, my soul. Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in the Lord. Can we lift our hands up? Say, we receive the hope of the Lord to overcome every turmoil. Say, by hope we overcome every turmoil. By hope we overcome every turmoil. By hope. By hope. By hope. By hope. By hope we overcome. By hope. By hope we overcome. We overcome. We overcome. We overcome. We overcome. By hope we overcome every turmoil. We overcome. We overcome. We overcome. We overcome. We overcome every turmoil by hope. We come by hope. By hope. By hope. We overcome every turmoil. Hope in God. For I will shall yet again praise Him, my salvation. And hope does not make a shame. Lift your hands to Him and say, our expectation concerning this country, it shall not fail. Oh Lord, our good expectation over our nation, it shall not fail. Oh Lord, you have brought us through this turmoil in this nation. Oh Lord, bring us into the abundance, into the celebration of this nation. If you have gone through these experiences, oh Lord, take us through better experiences. Give us better experiences. Give us better experiences. We thank you. We bless your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Psalm 112, verse 7. Time. Psalm 112, verse 7. Talking about the righteous, he is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. You know, office, home, church. People accuse me that it looks as if I'm not moved by. And they just say something. I say, don't bother, don't mind them. Don't bother. Don't mind them. Why? I'm sure of this. I'm sure of this. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm. So listen, if they say something happened in Gwaringpa and you are there, I don't bother. Because concerning you, I am not afraid of bad news. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a covenant. We are not afraid of bad news. It shall not come near us. Hello? Hey, if you are spreading bad news, whatever you sow, you shall reap. We have to tell ourselves the truth. In fact, many people are... Okay, look at it. I was fighting somebody in my office last week. The person was jubilating of being right that the dollar has gone to 7.10. I told them, yeah, I said, yes, you told them, it has happened. The people that made it up move to 7.10, is it affecting them? Not be you, it affect. After you have told them it's going to 1,000, when it gets to 1,000, it will not affect me. Now you go affect. Beware your prophecies and your expectations. If it moves to 1,000, they will not increase your salary, sir. They will not. If it increases to 1,000, sir, you don't have a passport. Where are you going? You have nowhere you are going. And you are happy. Tell we told you. Tell we told you. Tell no people worry. Tell we told you. He is there. What will you do? What will you do? And things are getting worse and worse and worse by the day. And at that time, you want to prove that you are a prophet. And prophet no get job. Prophet no get money. Prophet no get anything. And things are getting worse. So if dollar gets 1,000, what is your gain? What is your gain? You have not traveled by air before. You have not traveled by rail before. Bus, sir, people they contribute money give you to travel by bus. You are happy that things are getting worse. Where will you go to? It's right time we are people that distribute good news in this country. In the midst of the terribleness of a situation. I need you to know that by some of our contacts are the news we have. If you open our mouth and say some things, you will want the earth to open for you to hide inside. But in the midst of that, we still choose to trust the Lord, because we will not be afraid of any bad news. Can I hear you tell somebody, say, you will not be afraid of any bad news? No, tell yourself, say, I will not be afraid of any bad news. Say, no evil news to me. No evil news from me. Can I say, no evil news to me? No evil news from me. In the name of Jesus. Say, I will not be afraid of any evil news. It shall not come near me. It shall not be my experience. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I hope you understand my brief, is it brief homily I will call it? I don't know what I will call it. And you should get used to it by now that most of the things I say before I preach, I never thought about it, I never prepared. I just come and the Lord lays on my heart and I tell you that. Beware of your expectations. If your expectation will not change your situation, if it will pull you down, beware of it. Beware of it. Lord, we thank you. Luke chapter 14. I need a lot of time, but I've used the time. Luke 14 from verse 16. And he said to them, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who have been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field. I must go out and see it. Please have me excuse. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excuse. Another said, I have married a wife. Congratulations. And therefore, I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out again, go to the highways and the hedges, and compel the people to come in, that my house may be filled. Look at the objective of that parable is to tell you the agenda of Christ, that his house must be filled. Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. So God does not like an empty house. If you are seated here, look at the back. Look at the back. Check your back. Check your back. Check your back. Check your back. The instruction of God for you, first service, all of us here, is that this house may be filled. He is not happy with that. Proverbs 14:28. Can we read together? Let's go. One to go. In a multitude of people is the glory of the king. But without a people, a prince is ruined. King of kings, Jesus. His glory is in the multitude of the people that follow him. His glory is in the multitude of the people that feed his house. Listen to me. I don't know. Is anybody here whose father or parents were a trader that did business? And during the holiday you go, you know you are waiting for your school fees. And then in the holiday you go to help them in the shop. And you wait till 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 is 1, 2, 3, no customer. Then you went again. Whenever you don't see the kingdom and the things of God as a business of God, you can't explain it well. Jesus said, don't you know I must go about doing my Father's business? And he told them a parable saying, occupy till I come. That word occupy is do business till I come. If God is paying us, blessing us, giving us grace, giving us mercy, by how much his house is filled, what do you think will happen to the mercy we enjoy? The agenda of God for his house is that his house might be filled. Now let's go. See, let me show you something. Every minister of God in the scripture had multitudes. When you don't have it, something is wrong. Matthew chapter 3. Let's check verse 5. Matthew 3. We are going to be reading together. 1, 2, go. Let's go. 1, 2, go. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about, they did what? They were going out to him. That is John the Baptist. Where is Jesus in your church when people are not attracted? For John the Baptist, they were all going to him. Let's look at Jesus. I want to be fast today. Let's look at Jesus. Mark 1:33. I will have given you like 15 scriptures from Jesus, the multitude, the crowd. But because I just have like 20 more minutes, let me just move it quick. Jesus, let's go. Number one, let's go. 1, 2, go. Let's read. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Mark 6:33. Are we ready? Now let's go. 1, 2, go. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there. They ran there. Luke 12:1. Let me have it in New King James. Or just leave it. Leave it there. Leave it. Let's go. 1, 2, go. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together, that they were doing what? They were trampling one another. He began to say to the disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Give me King James. Let's read the first part. In the meantime, they were gathered together. What does innumerable multitude mean? That means ushers counted, they were tired and said, we no go count. We go estimate. Your father, Jesus, the one you serve, could not have had that, and we struggle with it. It is in the DNA. It is when his children do not do the right thing that the crowd, that the multitude are not attracted. Let's look at the disciples. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 verse 41. Now let's go. 1, 2, go. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them. How many? I can't hear you. How many? 3,000. Put that at the back of your mind. That is the first day of a church. The first message preached. 3,000 people were added. How many people do you think this church can take? So, after the first message, there was a problem of space. Acts 4:4. Acts 4:4. Acts 4:4. Let's read together. Let's go. Once you go. But many of those who have heard the word believe, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Add 5,000 to the first message. How many so far? 8,000. Second message in the book of Acts. 8,000. Now let's drop Acts chapter 6 verse 7. Acts 6, 7. Let's go. One, two, go. And the word of God continued to increase. And the number of the disciples did what? Multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Acts 13. Acts 13:44. Remember, 3,000. 5,000. Multiplication. And a great number. Now, look at 13:44. Once you go, let's go. The next Sabbath. If almost the whole city does not gather in our churches, we have not started. That is the agenda of God. You might not have seen. See, most of us grew up in churches of 50, where you build a structure for 30 years. Before you were born, the structure, foundation was laid. At the time you were doing 68 year birthday, you managed to give them money for roof. So we did not know that the agenda of God for the church is greater than this. So now, let's come back. Because of that, Jesus gave a parable of a banquet. And you know, if you read ESV, it says banquet. I don't know the Bible you are using. It might say dinner. It might say supper. So God is preparing a banquet in our own church to make the house filled. And the banquet is a physical one. And the banquet is a spiritual one. So the banquet, people have the word. The banquet, people have food. Because he asked them to invite them into the banquet. And that is what the Lord expects us to do. Now, listen to me. Please listen attentively. People will always make excuse. Verse 18, Luke chapter 6, 14. Where we read, verse 18. Now, and they all alike began to make excuses. Now, the first said to him, I have bought a field. I must go out to see. Remember, it was dinner, supper, or banquet. Please, sir, ma, what time do you have dinner? In the night. If you bought a land and you want to go and check your land, what time do you go to check your land? In the morning or in the afternoon? Is that excuse reasonable? You will be hearing unreasonable excuses. Do not be moved by the excuses. That's one. Please have me excuse. Verse 19. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. The same thing. Do you examine your tractor, your car at night? No. Look at the third part. Look at this. This one was given an awoof. And another said, I have married a wife. And therefore, if you have just married a wife and they invited you to a dinner, will you not gladly go to the dinner? Huh? No, you go with your wife now. Honeymoon continues. But they gave an excuse. Their worldly pursuits, their love for pleasure, make them to give an excuse. But that's not where I'm going. Did you know? This parable read. Did you notice that the servants never made any excuse? It was the people they were sent to that made the excuse. Do you know that now it has been inverted? People we are sent to are not making excuse. It's the people sent to them that are making excuse. That is the terribleness of the situation of TCI and the churches in the country. It is the people that are now making excuse. The people sent to are no longer making excuse. In fact, they are available, they are waiting. The people's businesses is making them make excuse. People's children, family is making them make excuse. Have you seen a Jehovah's Witness recently? Will you in your life ever imagine that a Jehovah's Witness will say, my children are young. I don't know who I will keep my children, so I can't go for evangelism. Can you imagine it in your widest dream? At age 2, 1, they are here. 3, they are being dragged. 4, they are the one giving you the paper. Shame on most of you. Because of your children, you can't go out. You can't carry your children. You are the one now making excuse. You now have a bachelor degree. God cannot talk to you. The Holy Spirit cannot minister to your heart again. You can't share the gospel again. You can't go out again. You have all the excuses in the world. And all those things making you to have excuse. When those things fail, you now start running back to the God you disappointed. Help me ask somebody, what are your excuses? You know the terrible thing? Some will hear this message, their heart will be touched. When they leave that door, c'est fini. The world is no longer making excuses. The church is now the one making excuses. But listen to me. Sent people don't make excuses. You are sent. Sent people obey the last order. You are sent. If you look at that parable, especially the parallel one in Matthew 22, you will notice something. Do you know that when they asked the servant to go out, the servant did not say, sir, at the banquet, I am playing music, I am leading worship at the banquet, so I can't go. Let others go while I prepare to lead worship in the banquet. Did you notice that all the servants, no matter their role in the banquet, went in the banquet, I will be an usher in the banquet. They are evangelizing people. Let them go. Evangelizing people. Home fellowship people, let them go. My own, now to play guitar. Let them go. You know, the house things in the house of God are very easy if you do division of labor. I will play conga. You go. Listen to me. Everyone, no matter their role in the banquet, went out. Sir, ma, can I ask you a simple question? Any church in this world, is anybody there because of you? I'm not talking about this church. Any church in this world. Is there anybody in any church in this world today that was there because of you? You are waiting to go to heaven. How will you get there? What have you sown into heaven that you want to go to? Is there anybody that has given their life to Christ because of you? I wish I can do film trick and sound the trumpet and disappear. Disappear and find myself in the office.
then all your big boy, big girls, will see how people will start to cry now, not knowing the idea of say, hey, now children, pastor, don't go. By your evangelism, prepare for the coming of everyone. See, any excuse you give is tenable to the pastor. You know, pastor, the work, kind of work I do, I'm very busy. And you know me, I say, oh, no problem. In fact, one of my favorite response to church people now, if you chat with me, what do I say? No problem. No problem. No problem. Is your excuse tenable in heaven? Remember this. The problem is the world is no longer giving excuse. It is the saints people that are now giving excuse. Now, quickly, let me show you something. So I believe that when Jesus called his servants and asked the servants to go and bring their people in, I believe the servants had different kind of skills and different kind of experiences. And they brought their skills, their temperament, and their experiences to bear in bringing people. One of the mistakes we make as pastors is that my style, my skill, the way I do things, I might want to impose it on everybody as the only way God works. So if you don't have my skill, my temperament, and you can't do things the way I do them, it becomes difficult for you to do it. And every time you have guilty conscience, something attacking your guilt, say, I wish I can do it, but I can't do it like pastor. I want to show you from scripture and deduce from some passages that when he said the Sabbath, different people with their temperament and different skills brought people to fill in the house in their own ways. Let's look at the first story. John chapter 1. John 1. Let's read 40 to 46. John 1. 40 to 46. One of them who heard John speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. What did he first do? Let's read that. Let's go. One, two, go. Who heard John speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And 41. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah. Continue, 42. He did what? He brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. Jump to verse 44. So, without Andrew, you will not know Peter. He brought him to Jesus. Let's read scripture 44. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can any good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, what? Sir, don't you have friends? Well, are you a terrible Christian that nobody can follow you anywhere? The man could not speak any grammar. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? He was not a lawyer. He does not know the Bible too much to be able to say, I tell you, yes, something good can come from Nazareth. According to Isaiah 54, verse 121, in the year this, he didn't have those skills. I don't get time for argument. But you, come and see. All of you cannot argue. But we can invite people to come and see. What is difficult about that? If you are selling and you can invite people to come and buy, you can invite people to church. Sometimes I make things practical so that you can be your own best judge. He couldn't plot big grammar. But what he has seen, he could invite somebody to come and see. And that was what he did. Let's look at another one. Let me use Mark 5. Or should I use John? Time. Let me use John. John 4, 24. Sorry. John 9. Which I will come to now. John 9, 24. Now, this is a story of a man that was born blind. And the disciples came to meet Jesus and said, why was he born blind? And he said that the name of the Lord might be glorified. And then Jesus put mud, spit in the mud, and put mud in his eyes, and asked him to go to the pool of Siloam to wash. And the man washed, and he was healed. And then he came back, and they saw him, and everywhere was upside down. The Pharisees were jealous, and they were saying Jesus was a sinner, and Jesus could not have healed. So they asked the man questions. What happened? He said, a man called Jesus put something in my eyes and asked me to go and wash. And when I washed, I was healed. So they called him. Let's look at it. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, he said, you give glory to God. Dude. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. Look at the man. He said, what did the man say? Whether he is a sinner or not a sinner, you now, if they say something and you will sit down, you will carry cutlass, you will start fighting like the other people. Now Jesus is a talk to you about that. Now Jesus is a talk to you like that. Now Jesus is a talk. Me, my pastor be accepted, but me, I know be accepted. May anybody talk to Jesus like that too. I will die here. You will die and go to hell. You are not born again. You don't know Christ. You want to die. Jesus did not ask you to die for him. He said he would die for you. And he has done that. But if in the course of a matter, you die, better. Don't be looking for death for Jesus. He has died for you. How can you talk to my bishop like that? How can you talk to my pastor like that? Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. Let's go. One thing. Can we start at the beginning? He answered, whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now, what do you know? What do you know? Why are you bothering about what you don't know? Why are you bothered about what you don't know when what you know is enough to bring people to the kingdom? When what you know is enough to invite people to church. See, listen to me. If you can gossip and your gossip partner is an unbeliever, both of you will end in the same place. A person that can gossip can share Christ. Okay. A person that can gossip Christ. You know what this man did? He just shared his testimony. I was blind. Now I can see. Oh, I was in church last week. A woman came and shared this testimony. Wow. That story looks like a story. I believe if you come with me, God can do the same thing. Ah, how will God do it? Is your pastor a vibrator? Is he somebody? Whether he vibrates or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that somebody that have that kind of a challenge came and something happened. Something can happen when you come. What is hard in that? If you can talk about Obi, you can talk about Jesus. If you can talk about Tinubu, you can talk about Jesus. If you can talk about Atiku, you can talk about Jesus. Are they better than Jesus? The first one invited. The second one just shared his testimony. And that was it. So I believe in the midst of the servant that went, different people were using different styles according to their experience, temperament, and their strength. Listen to me. It is not everybody that can see somebody for the first time and say, good morning. You know, for the first time. Even we that felt were confident in those days, after good training in church, when we're doing practical, we'll do every day, we'll clap for us. They not carry us to the field. You go and talk to people for the first time. God help me that day. Now my brother, now my friend go talk first. He's in Guagalada now. He was one that started. After doing this thing small, they started bombarding with questions. Bombarding with questions. He looked at me. If we had known at that time that if they ask us questions, you say, that question, I know get answered well. What I know, I was a sinner before. Now, I am saved. Is enough for you to take it? If you are not taking it, I leave you. I move to the next person. Ba, call me. Is that Hausa, is he right? Yeah, come here, come here. Listen, with the Holy Spirit with you, what you have in you is enough for this level to bring people to the kingdom. You don't have an excuse. It is enough. Let me share the last one. Matthew. Let's use the version in Luke. Luke chapter 5. Luke 5:27. Look at this one. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And leaving everything, some cannot live 20 minutes for Jesus. 20. Some here, if your guy is in the office, you can never leave the office. He will come at 4. You close by 5. He will leave at 10. You will sit down till 10. You will not leave. This same you. 20 minutes prayer, vigil. 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes evangelism. You can't attend. But your God, a human being, did not say, don't leave if I don't leave. But because you want to show your God you are hardworking, you sat there. But you are not showing Jesus anything. No sacrifice of any time. No sacrifice of any finance. No sacrifice of any resources. No sacrifice of your mouth. None. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Go on, 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And look at this. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table. How did they get there? Huh? You thought it was Mugbomuya party. You know Mugbomuya? I heard I came. No IV needed. You thought it was no IV needed campaign? How did they gather to the house of Levi to meet Jesus? Levi threw a party and invited people to come and brought Jesus there. Jesus, you that minister to me. I brought my people, minister to them. Your own party now, for who? Let's not even, I'm not interested in the party part. I'm interested in the fact. See, I don't know if you have noticed this. Today is another last Sunday of the year, of the month. Do you know that there are some people in church? They have done dedication here twice. Some three times. They are not active in church. You look for them, you don't see them. You call them, they give you different excuses. But the day they come for child dedication, everywhere is filled up. Here is filled. Up is filled. Do you know they are powerful tools in the hand of God, but they do not realize it? They have powerful interpersonal skills. Some make friends easily if they enter this place now. Before you know it, they have known everybody. When they want to do this, they don't announce it. Because sometimes they don't have the capability to cater for the number of people that will come. They have been sowing in different people's lives. They have good interpersonal skills. They are friendly. They are relational. They are compassionate. They are people persons. And you know what? Some of them are in church here. They have never used their interpersonal relationship for Christ before. In fact, they are the ones they call influencers, but they don't know that they are influencers. I can name them in church. In fact, whenever they want to do dedication in church, we the leaders, we get prepared. We check the number of visitors this thing, if they are okay, because we know, and it has never failed before. Everyone will be filled up. One person doing dedication. Imagine that one person telling people about Christ and bringing them to church. What do you think will happen? You have what it takes to bring people to Christ. You have what it takes to fulfill this mandate that God has given us as a church. In fact, 120 days of doubling attendance is too long if we do the right thing. But as usual, the super spiritual looking people will do nothing. But the simple ones will obey the word of God, and great things will happen. I want to believe that everyone here is committed to the Lord to bring people into His kingdom. If you are committed to that, lift your right hand up. Let's pray to you. Let's just pray to you. Committed to what the Lord is asking us to do. Lift your hand to you. Lift your hand to you. Lift your hands to Him. Say, Lord, I receive strength. I receive empowerment. I receive your grace. I receive strength. I receive empowerment. I receive grace. Say, in 120 days, somebody will follow me to church. Can you tell him? In the next 120 days. In the next 120 days. In the next 120 days, somebody will follow me to Christ. In the next 120 days, many people will follow me to Christ. In the next 120 days, many people will follow me to Christ. In the next 120 days, many people will follow me to Christ. Lift your hands to Him. I receive confidence. I receive grace. I open my mouth. I bring people to the banquet. I bring people to the banquet. I bring people to the banquet. According to the word of God, I bring people to the banquet. In the next 120 days, I will not be empty. My hands will not be empty. My record will not be empty in heaven. My record will not be empty. My name will be on the register. I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Friends that don't share opportunities are some of the most terrible friends you can ever have in life. Listen to me. And if you are like that, change. In other days, we had friends that were working in FCDA. Land will be sold in Kubwa, F01. Let me give an example. When F01 was sold, we had friends that knew about it. They bought 5, they bought 10. They did not tell us anything. We're in the same fellowship, in the same church. They did not tell us anything. When the team moved up, we now came and told them that, we heard they are selling F01 land in Kubwa. It has, this is the price now. And I said, the team we bought we bought it when it was, maybe we bought it when it was 120, and now it's 1.2. We caught the opportunity. We ran to them to tell them. They had the opportunity. They never tell anybody. Don't be that kind of friend. Don't be a friend that knew the Lord and none of your friends knows nothing about him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Stretch your two hands here. Heavenly Father, let there be a release of grace upon these hands. A release of grace upon their hearts. A release of grace upon our mouths. A release of grace of no excuses. A release of grace to fulfill your divine mandate. We receive that grace. You who is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above what we can imagine or think. Using us, you will do great and mighty things. We give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for sharing the moment with us. We hope you have been blessed and we look forward to hearing from you. You can reach us via WhatsApp, SMS or calls on 090-1137-1118. You can visit or worship with us at the Citadel of Impact, New Estate Baptist Church, behind Silver Mall, near Sakale Bus Stop, Buhari Expressway, Duse Alaji, Abuja. Or join us on Facebook and YouTube at NEBC Duse Abuja, on Instagram at TCI_Abuja, or Mixlr audio channel at TCI-Abuja. Our worship time is 7:30 a.m., 9 a.m., and 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, and on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Till we come your way again, stay blessed and stay safe. Grace to you.